It is always interesting. Hello. How two people can see the same item differently. No. What it said in the store, that it's a wallet. And in a wallet, of course, you put different things in there, right? You put in there your money. Or in this society, you know, a little less than you used to have, but you put money in there. You put in there what? You have to have your ID, right? You have to have something that signifies and identifies who you are as a person. And if you're like most people, you have a million pictures of your children and your grandchildren. Or in my case, the dog. No, I'm kidding. But, no, the dog is long gone. Yeah, right. Yes. And we just continue to pray. James 1, this is not the scripture, but I'm going to read it. Talks about James 1:17. Says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't change? Aren't you glad he's a Father that gives? And he gives out of the abundance of his life and who he is? And so I want to spell out the word big today, because I can spell at least three letters, so I'm doing good today. And this basic scripture is going to be John 15, 16 to 17, so you can stand for that as well, and I'll read that here. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, a fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. You may be seated. I would like you to note in the scripture before I even start, I chose you and appointed you to bring forth fruit that lasts. How many have ever gone into the store and the fruit didn't last? It did not only get to your house, it didn't last out of the supermarket. God wants fruit that remains. Okay? And then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We have to do things in order. Well, I want to spell out big. What do we get from the Father? What do we get from the Heavenly Father that is unique, that is meaningful, that is eternal? Well, first of all, in that wallet, you'd have a place for your money or the exchange that you use in this society. The exchange rate in the Bible is called blood. Now, in our world, if they said you had blood money, it would mean that you probably got it from a bad source or you killed to get it. In Jesus' case, he died to give it to us. It's a different kind of blood, right? So, when blood is passed on to the baby, when that conception and everything occurs, the father has 23 chromosomes and the mother has 23, right? And based out of all of that, the individual varied markings of genetic code, traits, different things like that come forward. Think for a minute when Jesus was brought forth, okay? He would have had the 23 chromosomes from Mary. But he would have had one from the Heavenly Father. Because it doesn't come in parts. The Bible said, what? The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in our Lord. He didn't get bits and pieces of the heritage. He got it all. He was complete Son of God. And in this type of setup, when you're talking about the blood types and all of that, the more dominant one is the one that's going to be the one that really affects that child. So the one complete, unified chromosome of the Heavenly Father is the one that affected and changed that precious little life that we know as our Savior. Imperative. He had to be total God. He couldn't be part of anything else. He was human, yes, but the overriding dominant is heavenly. And why is that important? Because without it, we have the blood of this world, which is tainted. It has got to be divine, doesn't it? So, in Ephesians, my favorite book of the Bible, which you already know, in Ephesians 1, 3-7, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves. And in him, we have redemption through his blood. This is the purchase price. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. I love that word, lavished. Do you know what that means? That means you're so rich, you can give out stuff and you don't even miss it. That's what it means. You're not counting the pennies. Do you know when God gives you something, he's not going, uh-oh, I gave that to Patrick. I don't have anything more for Susan. Are you kidding? She'll go shake it loose from him. You don't have to, because God has everything 100%. He's not missing anything when he's giving us himself. And his blood, which is our life, is so important here. The word blood, the Greek word haima, means not just stationary blood. It has to be flowing. It has to have movement in order for there to be life. What happens when your blood clots? What happens when there's a big clot? Exactly. You have a major medical meltdown. We don't want that. You want free-flowing blood. All the more reason why, as it goes along, I didn't put it in the deal here, but it says the forgiveness of sins. There has to be forgiveness. Forgiveness from God and forgiveness for each other for that blood to flow. And the Greek word is ephesis, and it means dismiss, release, forgive a debt, and pardon them. Send them away. I've told you before, the definition God gave me many years ago, which Susan loves it because I always tell stories many years ago, and I tell them because most of the people are gone, so they would never say anything. But he said this, treat them like it never happened. That's what forgiveness is. When God looks at you and me, he doesn't see the sin. He sees his redemptive price. That's what he sees. Treat him like it never happened. So in this big, wonderful God we have, the B is for the blood. Without the blood, we have no relationship. Without the blood, we have nothing. The second thing is I, and that's the identity. Your identity, your name, comes from the Father. Comes from your Father. Now, gentlemen, you don't generally think about a name because you're stuck with one, whether you like it or not. I went to Bible school with a guy whose last name was Butts. And I prayed for him for years. I mean, I'm sure he was fine with it, but I would have been mortified. You know, that's just me. But women always have the case and the hope that they're going to get a better name. You know? And there are some that do get a better name. There are some that maybe question it. But I happened to look on site and saw one of my favorite things on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno is headlines, and it has stuff in there about wedding announcements. And when you put two names together in an announcement, how some of them sound really funny. So I'll just give you a couple of the G-rated ones, okay? There was one couple. The bride's last name is Root, R-O-O-T. And her husband's last name is Beers, B-E-E-R-S. So Root Beers. That just cracked me up. You know, you'd have a yen for a root beer float. I mean, you know, That's my feeling. There's another couple where her maiden name was May, and her groom's name was Flowers. Oh, May Flowers. Maybe that gave them a theme for their wedding, huh? I'm not sure. There was another one. The maiden name of the bride was Early, and the husband's name was Frost. So don't you know there was probably a little bit of chilliness in that wedding? No? But sad. But a name identifies, it gives you a past, and it heralds your future. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to give you that in the name of the Lord. And so back in John 14th chapter, in the 16th verse, he says some of the most wonderful things. And he says, I chose you. You know what that means? We're not an accident. We're not an accident. I told you that in my testimony a couple years ago, that I remember a story on a TV show where little boy says to his mom, Mom, Darlene, meaning his sister, says that I was an accident. And she said, no, you were a surprise. And he said, well, what's the difference? He said, well, an accident you wouldn't do over again. But a surprise you didn't know until they came. And then he looks at her and he goes, "And well, what's Darlene?" And she goes, oh, she was a disaster. He chose us. He actually wanted us. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know how many men are very surprised they have children? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't get the memo. But he chose us, the Bible says. The Greek word, eklego, and that means to select or to choose. God selected. Now, today's world, what do they want to do for children when you know that you're having a child? They want to find out what the different traits are, because if they don't like a trait, they're going to abort it. That's what they're after. Oh, I want a brown-haired, you know, kind of like going to the country buffet. You choose what you want. Can't you just see them trying to push a button, saying, this is the kind of child I want? God is the one who chooses who we are, right? Our identity. He said, I chose you. And this word comes out of the Greek word ek, which means out of, and lego, which means to speak to a conclusion. God's greatest conclusion for each one of us is he brought us out of himself. And it's the best conclusion of my life and yours. I mean, I know I was a surprise. My sister Jan didn't tell my parents that I was coming. Of course, she probably wanted all the attention for herself until I was born. But I came and rocked her world, hey. But we came out of him. And if you come out of them, what? You have their identity. That's imperative here. The Bible says, and I ordained you. Now, a year ago, I was validated. My ordination was validated. I've been legal and official for a year. Susan calls me Pastorette. I think it's because I'm short. But ordained is the Greek word tithemi, and it means to play and to set, to place and establish. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the seven pastors, and they're called stars for a reason. Do you know the stars are set by the providence of God? What do they hang on? They hang on his authority, don't they? And when they come down, and they will, as we go along in this world, they will also come down at his authority. When he says, be gone, be loosed, they will lose their setting place. We are ordained and set and established, not by this world, not by the ground upon which we stand, but upon the authority of Jesus Christ. And as long as we keep ourselves in his hands, we're going to stay in that place that Joyce always talks about, let us shine for Jesus. We're going to be that star that shines for him. That's what I want to be. He says he's given us his name. His name. You know, it doesn't mean a lot to American audiences. You know that? You know, we choose our names. In the 60s, I think they just got drunk and chose a name. I'm not sure what it was. But in the Hebrew life, your name meant your essence. You could not separate it from who you were as a person. It was very important. And the name Onama means a name or authority, cause, and character. It means you take on his character. That's why it's important to be a disciple, to follow him. You're taking upon his name and his authority to be who he wants us to be. This world and its counsel will tell you that you need a better self-image. But you know what the Lord did when he created us? He created us in his image. We don't actually need a better self-image. We need a better God image. Because the more we see him, the more we're going to see how much he loves us and who he created us to be. And we're not going to have to try to race to be the better me. We can be who he's created us to be. In God's wallet, he had an exchange rate. He also had given us an identity, so we know who we are as people. Third thing he gave us is G, and that is our gender. Now, we're in a society where this is becoming questionable, isn't it? Everybody wants a different gender. Are you kidding? You got to buy all new clothes. I mean, really. I worked for a law firm when I was in Bible school. And they were basically all Democrats. The senior partner was a very good friend of Jimmy Carter and the Humphreys and Fritz Mondale and all of those lovely people. But there was one lone Republican, Robert Forsyth, and he was hilarious. I walk into his office. He has a big round rug that's patriotic. He has a flag in there. I went in and saluted every time I walked in. I just loved it. He was the judge that actually swore in Jesse Ventura when he became our governor. So he had a lot of people as well that he knew in the greater, what we would call the world of politics and finery. But you know, I'd come in there and I probably came in to give him something or talk about something legal. You know what he'd do? He'd pull out his wallet. He wanted to show me all of his kids and grandkids. He didn't care what was on his agenda. And it was like one of those ladders that comes down when you're trying to escape a building. It just kept going and going and going. My. But you couldn't get him off that topic. I don't care if there's a fire in the building. I mean, he was only concerned about who his children and grandchildren were. The father gives us our gender. The mother provides the X chromosome. The father provides an X or a Y, and depending on how that comes out, you have a boy or you have a girl. So, gentlemen, anytime you want to blame your wife that you didn't get the boy you wanted, it's really your fault, but we won't get into guilt, okay? But I think the interesting thing about this is, number one, the Bible talks about us as having a sonship, and that's for the identity and for the legality of his inheritance. You have to have inheritance as a child of God. It comes through the male idea, okay? But in general, we are sons and daughters because we're individuals. And everybody is unique, even if they are twins. They're all unique. We're all very unique. And I think it's very sad in today's world. I was reading this. A new bill in California, students of any gender will be able to access bathrooms or lockers with the facility of their choice. They can say, well, I don't know what I am today. I'm going to go in wherever I want. And it will be legal to do so. Can you understand why God the Heavenly Father is aggravated and offended by these things? God created our genders. He created us, male and female. He is offended by man trying to readjust. God didn't create us with extra working parts, folks. He created us the way He created us. And I understand there are people that are not happy with themselves based on maybe they were assaulted or something like that as a child by a member of the opposite sex, or maybe even their own sex. And people do get hurt and wounded, and they need healing, and they need to be in victory. But they do not need to change their gender to do so. Because guess what? You can change your gender. You're not changing who you are on the inside. It still follows you. That has to be healed, no matter what outfit somebody's wearing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:18, "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters." Do you know in a lot of cultures, the daughters mean nothing? In fact, if a girl is born, they would be encouraged to abort them, because they don't have any value in the society. God's word, they do. Thank God for that. We get our identity from the Father. We get our blood. And not only that, but the sense of the Trinity, we get the fullness through the person of Christ. And we get our gender. I'm so glad about that, because only God can do that. When I think about some of the things that are happening in this world, the Heavenly Father today has to be so grieved, don't you think? Very grieved. They're trying to buy their way to God with anything but the only exchange rate that will work. They don't like who He created them to be, so they want to change it. And then they try to change their gender, which I believe is one of them. I know it's a cry for help. I understand that, and I pray for everyone that's ever done it. But God created the gender. Pray for anyone you know that is having those issues. They need to come to Christ. They need to find out who they are, really, in Him. How many are glad that when God opens up His wallet, your face is in there? And you know those pictures are pictures that were taken on a good day? You know that? It's not like those mug shots where some of these people look horrible, like the train just rode over them. It's a good picture. You know why? Because the love of Christ is showing through. That's the picture we need to see. That's the identity we need to have. And on this Father's Day, that is my prayer, that we will all see ourselves in the eyes of the One who loves us so much. Please bow your heads. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You today, and we're so grateful. As the Heavenly Father, that You love us. You didn't ask us to change. You did all the changing for us. You went from Your world to ours. You went from perfectness to the sin upon You, so that we could have a new life in You. And I'm so grateful for that. And I pray, Lord Jesus, today for any in this house, Lord God, that have any issues with who they are, Lord, they need to see themselves in Your eyes, because that's the only eyes that will ever matter. Any other eyes will still have to be assured somewhere down the road. But in the eyes of Jesus, in the eyes of our Heavenly Father, it's a totally different story. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here today and maybe you've never really liked yourself, maybe there isn't anything about you that you've liked, but I can guarantee you that there's somebody that's absolutely crazy about you, and that's your Heavenly Father. If you're here today and you'd say, "Pray for me, because these are issues that have just followed me my whole life, and I really do want to see myself His way," and you'd raise your hand so I can pray for you. Raise your hand if you have had any of the issues, how you view yourself. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for these that have raised their hands today, that, Lord, they've been looking at the underside of the mirror, not the top side. And I pray, Lord, you'd give them a fresh insight into the Word of God and to the Heavenly Father who made a choice to provide and to bring them to life. And then you made a choice to die for us. You didn't do it because you felt guilty. You did it because you love us. And I pray that you would heal and restore today any lives that really need to know they're in your wallet and they matter more than they think. Lord, minister your truth, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to stand. To God be the glory. Sing it like you mean it. Haven't even begun to see what God can do. That's the greatest thing. Well, I'm going to ask Jeremy to come up and to close in prayer. How many appreciate Jeremy and Misty and their family?
Thank you, God, for this day and this time. Every time we come to church, we hear your voice, Lord. And when we go out this door, that we see your face on every other people's face. And for the things that we do that don't seem right to us, Lord, and everything that we think that we need to do, Lord, is all according to your plan for our life. Just let us rejoice and be glad in your name, Lord. And I thank you for this day and this time. Amen.